Well, if you turn your Bibles with me this morning to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Man, aren't you thankful for the grace of God this morning? Where would we be without it? Man, I know where I'd be. I'd be lost without the grace of God this morning. I know we would all be lost. This message this morning is kind of a two-parter, but I figured I could fit it in this morning because it's both equally important in this message to us as a church, not only as individuals, but as a church as well. The title of this message this morning is, Why Am I Here? And the second part is, What Do I Give Up to Be Here? If you stand with me as you please, if you're able to, as we read God's Word this morning, and we turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're going to be reading the whole chapter. So in verse 1, we start. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, and that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God. This person that this is referring to is the Antichrist. Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica. He's writing to them about the end times. And he says, you think times are bad right now, things are going to get worse. There has to be a falling away first. And that's kind of what's happening right now in our world today. Pick up in verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not when I was with you yet, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. This is talking about the Antichrist establishing a one world government, a one world religion, and one power on earth. We see in this time, Paul is talking to the church at Thessalonica, and he's telling them, times are bad right now. But like it says in verse 2, he doesn't want them to be shaken in mind or troubled in spirit. And kind of like as times were back then, God is saying to the church now, times are tough. And I believe we're getting closer to the end times. But even in this passage, like it was back then, we can have hope right now that we cannot be soon shaken in mind as a church. Pick up in verse number 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, that capital W is Satan. That wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all the deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the love and the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believeth not the truth and hath pleasure in unrighteousness. This is a bleak situation in verses 1 through 12. Talking about the state of the world in the end times. But aren't you thankful for verses 13 through 17 as we continue? But we, the church, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. Brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the attaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren. Now, whenever we see a therefore, we need to find out what it's there for, right? We saw in verses 1 through 12, times are tough, and the church could very well be shaken. But in verse 15, Paul is telling the church, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold to the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work and word. You may be seated. During this time, we do see a falling away. And we do see a lot of things that the Bible talks about coming into fruition. But as a church, we can't back down. We can't slip in this area and that area. We have to stand fast. And I hope as we see this morning, we're going to answer a couple of questions about ourselves to make sure we are standing fast in the Word. Let's open up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to come and to worship you this morning. I thank you for the songs that were sung, and I thank you for the truth in them, dear God. You are our King, and we want to worship you every chance we get. Dear God, I thank you for the grace that you bestow on us so freely. Dear God, this morning, I pray that something that is said will speak to our hearts. I pray even now you'll work, and I pray that anything that's in our way, you'll move so that we would hear your word. Speak to me, dear God. I pray that you would speak to us, give us safety today, and just help us to honor and glorify you in all that's said and done this service. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this message, point number one, why am I here? Why are we here? Why is the church here? I had to answer this question myself at Bible college. First 2 years of Bible college, it wasn't that great for me. I always say I had fun and I met a lot of friends. But I was there at Bible college for a reason. God wanted me to be there for a reason. The reason that I came, it was kind of selfish. It was for a comfortable hobby, and that hobby was music. I was good at music, so I felt like I should do that for no other purpose than that's the only thing left I can do. It took me an entire year of Bible college to swallow so much pride that I had and realize that my focus wasn't on the right things, that I was there for the wrong reason. Sophomore year came. It's kind of the same thing. I had struggled back and forth with God. God, how could you use me with music in this world today? But you know what? I got to travel on tour this summer for my college on a singing group. And I had so much fun. And despite all the COVID and everything, it was a great time. I mean, had to wear masks everywhere. But I mean, when you're serving the Lord, it doesn't really matter that much to me. I had a great time. But the fact of the matter was, I had already wasted 2 years of my life. And I don't want anyone in this room this morning to do what I did. Can I say that all of us in this auditorium have to answer a question? And that question is, why are we here this morning? Why are we here? First of all, there's a real purpose. Letter A, there's a real purpose. In verses 14 and 15, 2 Thessalonians says this, "Whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold to the traditions which you've been taught." Like I said, I traveled on a singing group for my college. And as you can expect, it was not a normal summer. But it was an eye-opening one. And one of the biggest questions that God brought up to me this summer was concerning the end times. In verse number 2 of our text, it says that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. Well, to be honest, I was kind of troubled. I was kind of shaken in mind about this subject of what's going to happen in a couple of years. I didn't want to believe it. I didn't want to accept the fact that we are going closer to the end times and that we are what the Bible describes as a needy people. This world is very bad off right now. We all know that. I don't need to lecture you about it. But I struggled with the fact to accept it. I had struggled with it, and I talked to a lot of people about it. I talked to my tour leader. I talked to some pastors. I talked to a lot of staff at my college, and there's just no way around it. With such wicked ideas and philosophies going around, there's no way that you can tell me now that we're not in the end times described by the Bible. We would discuss the state of the church, the country, and the world as a whole. And one of the most sobering statements I heard this summer, a pastor told me this. He said, "Jeremiah, think about this for a second. What if this year is God giving us one last chance as Christians, as a church, to shift our focus back on what's important? Back to what God wants us to be focusing on. What is that thing that God wants to be focusing on? It's outreach in the community, it's soul winning, and it's discipleship. I thought about this for the longest time. And I kept telling myself, there's no way that's actually possible. God's not gonna give the church one last chance. He's done that a lot of times. But what if this is our last chance? Then another pastor kept saying it. And then another pastor kept saying it. Over and over again, I heard this summer. And I couldn't shake what the Lord was wanting me to realize. And there's a question that I was faced with. Why am I here? Why am I at Bible college? Why am I on the road right now traveling from my college? At West Coast, we have this slogan on our logo, and it's training laborers for his harvest. And really, that's the main purpose of why I'm going out, is to recruit people to come to West Coast to train for that purpose. I had to realize it, and I had to realize the need for it. We're all faced with the same question. Whether you're male, female, black, white, brown, gray, whether you can sing, teach, preach, or play basketball, doesn't matter how old you are, where you're at in life. It's God's desire for us to, number one, grow closer to Him and to win souls for Him. I think because of the strange circumstances happening right now, I think that everyone here wants to be used of God, of course. But there are some things that might be blocking our way, blocking God's way into our hearts. How is God going to work in our hearts and lives when we're too busy being frustrated by the news or trying to be difficult with our neighbors who vote differently than we do? Church, we got to realize why God put us here. And I can guarantee you that God did not bring you here to bad attitude. I also believe God didn't bring us here to have a fearful attitude either. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of what? A sound mind. Look at the last part of 2 Thessalonians 2:16. It says this: Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us an everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. What does that word consolation mean? Well, in this particular passage, it means encouragement. It means that God is always looking to encourage us. Are you getting this, church? Listen, God wants us to be encouraged whatever we do and wherever we go. He's saying, whereunto he called you, stand fast. Hold to traditions which you've been taught. God gives grace to us, hope, and encouragement through grace. And it's through grace. Grace is so powerful. You know what? Let's talk about grace for a second. Let's take a really important commercial break. I want all of you to look down a row. And as you're looking down your row, if you're on a row by yourself, just imagine with me here. Imagine them 6 feet apart. You could be kissing them on the cheek. I don't care. Imagine someone on your row. And as you're looking down your row, you're asking yourself this question. Who on your row needs grace the most? Say that I have an imaginary row right here, and there's people filled with it. I have someone right here. She's a mom, and she's a loving wife. She goes to church, and she's a super happy lady. Everybody likes her. And she's helping out whatever she can. She's in the nursery. She's helping out with ministry stuff. But she's got a problem. And that problem is she likes to gossip. Someone comes through that door and they're looking a little rough. She likes to talk about it behind their back. Someone bakes food at the fellowship and it's not how she likes it. She's going to talk about it. And she's got a problem with it. Next to her, we got her husband. Her husband's a good man. He comes to church faithfully. He's got a good job and he likes making money because he's good at it and he makes a lot of money. He's a nice guy, wouldn't do anything wrong, but he's got a problem too. He's very greedy with his money. He doesn't like to give extra for any kind of projects. He just gives his 10% of a tithe and then calls it a day, and he's very stingy. Down the row a little bit, we have this elderly lady, and she's one of the sweetest people in the church. Everybody loves her. She's the nursery favorite, but she's got a problem too. Maybe when she was younger, she had a problem with her mom, and she can't forgive. She's got grief about it. Maybe her mom was a little hard on her. Maybe her mom was overbearing and even a little emotionally abusive, and she just can't shake that. She has a problem with bitterness. Next to her, she's got her son, her grandson. Her grandson is a wild ride. He likes to be at the party. He's the life of the party. Wherever there's beer, he's drinking it. If there's drugs, he's taking it. If there's women, he's chasing them. Man, if there's loud music, he's rocking out to it. He's not really the church crowd, but he comes for his grandma. Good for him, I guess. But he's obviously got a problem. And then way down the row, we have a man right here. And he's a good man. He's a very religious person. Maybe he's a deacon in the church. He doesn't really struggle with anything that these people struggle with. But he has a problem too. As he's looking down, he's figuring out what their problem is. He's judging every single one of them. And he's saying, yeah, this person needs grace for sure. You see what he does at night? I know what you talk about around people's backs. You need grace the most. There's nothing wrong with that person that we can see on the outside. But on the inside, he's very judgmental. And he completely excuses himself from the grace of God. Can I say this morning that we all need the grace of God? The grace of God is so important in our lives. And it's something that we could all need every morning and every night. Do you need grace this morning? I'm not saying that you are one of the people on this road that had these problems. And I'm not saying you're looking down your road judging. But are you skipping out on the grace that God wants to give you this morning in your life? Maybe you are one of those people on the road. I didn't say that God wasn't using them. Despite all that could be going on in your life today, God's grace enables you to serve him still. Not that we could keep sinning and feel good about ourselves still. Paul deals with this in Romans chapter 6. Listen to what it says in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, verse number 2. How shall we, that we are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Skip down to verse 12. It says this. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Watch this. Verse number 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. That's the power of grace. We all need it. God gives grace so freely to us, and he gives it to us in order for us to be forgiven, to live without a bondage of sin, and to serve him better. Man, we all need the grace of God this morning. Where would we be without it? We'd be down a road where we wouldn't know where to go. We would be lost forever without grace. Without grace, it's impossible. It's impossible to be saved. We're saved by faith through grace. Through the grace that Jesus Christ gave when he died on the cross for us. Don't skip out on grace this morning. We all need it. We see that there is a real purpose as to why we are here. But you know what? Secondly, let it be. There's a real problem. The problem in this world, matter of fact, isn't a lack of Republican conservative voters. The problem in this world is a lack of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wake up, church. The riots and the pedophilia and the murdering of innocent babies, these problems affect us now. We can't afford to not take this seriously. You want to know what the solution is, though? This is the solution. It's not holding all these kinds of Trump rallies, although it's good to inform people. What's going to fix this community is something as simple as Brother Richard walking up to somebody at Walmart. He might be a homeless person, but he gives him a gospel tract and he invites him to church. Sure, he may want to talk about his political opinions. He might want to talk about this thing and that thing, but at the end of the day, no one's perfect. And you know what? God loves everyone, even with all that's going on in this world. He wants all to be saved. He wants all to live with him in heaven one day for eternity. Sure, you could argue with people. You could argue with people about your Second Amendment rights, about the election and all these other things. And I'm not saying that we as Americans should just roll over and let these things go. It's kind of why we're in this place in the first place with America. But what I am saying is that at what point does being American become more important than being a Christian? I'm going to say that again. What point does being American become more important than being a Christian? At what point does defending your freedom trump sharing your faith? Not politics, and it's not a personal responsibility to dispute every little thing that comes on the news. It's the gospel that's going to change lives. You want to change this country and you want to change this world? We've got to start by changing our community. We need the gospel to go out. That's one of the reasons why our church exists, because there is a problem. And the solution to that problem is the gospel. But you know what? A third thing I see this morning, there is a purpose to the church, and there is a problem in this world, but there is an opponent against us. And he will attempt to shift our focus. The devil loves to shift our focus from what's important. He is a roaring lion. He's powerful. He's seeking about, and he's persistent. And he's looking to devour somebody. He's hungry, man. Devil is hungry today. He has all his weapons aimed at the church and at us as Christians. But you know what? God's word says something very contrary to the devil's lies. Peter makes a statement in the Bible, and he says this. He's talking to Jesus. Jesus asks him a question. He says, "Who am I to you, Peter?" And Peter makes this great statement. He says, "Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God." Jesus takes this statement and says that upon this rock, upon the statement that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus is saying that any church that proclaims my name, that proclaims Jesus Christ and Christ alone, I will build my church here. Whenever a church starts to get away from the main thing, and that main thing is proclaiming Jesus to the world, I don't know how much God's going to bless that ministry. We start straying away from what we call, I like to call the main thing, and the main thing is soul winning. Whenever we start straying away from that fact, we start seeing something happen. We start seeing the devil prevailing against our church. Because we're not keeping the main thing the main thing. Sure, we like to come to church, and we like to have a good song service. Man, the Bible says that we are to be doing all things decently in order. And I'm so thankful that a couple of us, we came out here and we were able to decorate the church. I don't decorate. I just lift heavy stuff. That's not even that heavy. I don't know why I came here. But I helped, I guess. Yeah, we like to have things decently in order. We like having good specials, and we like having good song services. We like having piano, even though that was me from 2 days ago and I was a little rusty. But you know what? That's not the main thing. We have to realize the purpose of why God has us here as Christians and as a church. At West Coast, like I said, our purpose is training laborers for the harvest. The minute that Pastor Chapel, the president of my college, the minute that he thinks that we're not doing that, he knows for sure that some bad things are going to happen. He knows that students aren't going to come anymore because that's not our purpose. That's not why God called us to start a college. The minute we stray away from the purpose that God has for us, he won't bless us like he used to. And we definitely see that. I definitely see that in my own life. We have to realize the purpose of why we are here as a church. But also, we have to realize a second purpose. We have to ask a second question. What am I willing to give up for that purpose? We're going to go to our second part of the message, and it's not going to be that long, I promise, but it's very needed. Romans 5:8 says this, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Do you ever think about what God was willing to give up for you? Think about it. God, the creator of the universe, he created you and me so lovingly, but he gave up his one perfect son for us to die a gruesome and undeserved death just so that we could argue over this and that, just so that we could feel good about ourselves and never get moving on for what he's called us to do. I'm guilty of it, and I know we all are. But when are we finally going to be willing to give up our personal preferences and our familiarities, even our freedoms, to yield to God's will for our lives? Why am I here? I know why we're not here. We're not here to shout it in people's faces. We're not here to tell them, you're wrong about this area, and you're wrong about this area. We're not to deter them from what God has called us to do. We're to be loving. We're to show the love of Christ to people, show grace to people. But there has to be some line. We have to realize that this is what God has called me to do. Am I doing it? I know this is what God wants me to do, but am I willing to give up things in my life to pursue that? And we see that if we start straying from the purpose God has, that we see his hand on our lives will not be there. We'll notice the blessings aren't coming as much as they used to. And I don't want anyone to be like that. 2 years in Bible college, I went through. Man, I had a good time. I spent time with friends, and I read my Bible, and I did my devotions, and I studied my music program. But you know what? I didn't feel God's hand in my life. I never did. It wasn't until this summer when I realized that there's such a need. And God has called me, whether it's being an electrician, whether it's being a salesman, whether it's being a truck driver, God still called us to win souls for him. God still called us to grow closer to him. We all have different walks in life, but it all leads to one purpose, and that's to glorify God. And that's to fulfill the great commission that he's called us to have. Going out into the highways and hedges and proclaiming that thou art the Christ. This is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's the only one that can save. He's the only one that will give you grace to have joy and fulfillment in your life. He's the only one that can save you. You might have problems. I have problems too. But you know what? This man, this person, he's the Christ. He died for you, and he died to give you grace. You can claim that grace. Hallelujah for the grace of God. Man, why are we here, church? Why are you here this morning? I had to answer that same question, and I pray that this morning we'll answer that too. At West Coast, it's training laborers for the harvest. In my life, it's using the music ministry and preaching to try and bring souls to Christ and glorify God. But we got to find out what our purpose is, not only as a church, but as individuals as well. And I pray that you'll ask yourself that question this morning. As we close, let's bow our brow in prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Dear God, I thank you for your word and how sound it is and how relevant it is today. I thank you for your love for me, your love for this church. Dear God, for 20 plus years, you've blessed this ministry. Dear God, I pray that your hand will never come off this ministry. I pray that we'll be looking for a pastor and that we'll be looking to glorify and honor you through the service. But dear God, I also pray that we not stray from the purpose that you've called this church, from the reason that this church exists. Dear God, I pray that we'll examine our own lives this morning. I pray that we as Christians, if we've accepted you into our heart, then we do have convictions, dear God. You know what you want us to do, dear God, and you would speak to us about that. I pray that we'll not harden our hearts. And I pray that we'll just be open to whatever you want to say to us this morning. Dear God, I also pray that you help us not to skip out on the grace that you want to give us. Dear God, this year has been a rough year, and I understand that. But I pray that as we're quarantined or as we're doing this and that, we'll always be grateful for the grace that you give us. We'll never think to ourselves, we'll never be judgmental, and we'll never think, this person needs grace more than I do. Dear God, we all need grace. We're all sinners saved by grace. I pray that you would help us to realize how lost we would be without it.